Tonight on Old Time Radio Drama, Gunsmoke from 1955, starring William Conrad as Marshal Matt Dillon. We'll also have Fibber McGee and Molly. Fibber's going to become a gossip columnist, at least for a while tonight, in an outing from 1939. Bob Bailey is George Valentine in Let George Do It. That's from just before he became yours truly, Johnny Dollar. We'll have Box 13 starring Alan Ladd from 1948, The Shadow from 1947, that'll be at about 10 o'clock, and Hermit's Cave at about 10:30 with a piece called The Professor's Elixir. I'm Norman Gilliland. We'll start with our Name That Sound contest, and Kale and Company are back there in the booth to take your guesses. Simple enough premise. We'll give you, during the duration of our first feature, roughly half an hour to call in with your guesses. I'll give you the phone number fore and aft, and if you're one of the correct respondents, you will be in the winner's circle, eligible to win tonight's Old Time Radio Night t-shirt when we have our drawing at about 8:30. The phone number to call in with your guess is 1-800-642-1234. Now, the only trick with sounds is a lot of time they don't sound like what they are on the radio, but see if you can make this one out. Easy or difficult. Here it is. Name that sound. Very distinctive sound, anyway. See what you can make of it. And that phone number again is 1-800-642-1234. As we get ready to go west with Matt Dillon in Gunsmoke, which begins with William Conrad's plug for the TV debut of Gunsmoke, which happened several years after that show began on radio. Tonight we meet John Daner as a cavalry officer, as we often did meet John Daner in Westerns and many other radio shows. And our story introduces us to a family divided about staying or leaving a valley where a few renegades are on the loose. In Alarm at Pleasant Valley, it's Gunsmoke from September 10th, 1955.
This is William Conrad. Well, tonight's the night for Gunsmoke on television. And one of Hollywood's biggest stars, John Wayne, will be on hand for the premiere. Be sure and watch Gunsmoke tonight over the CBS television network at 10 p.m. Eastern Time.
Gunsmoke. Around Dodge City and in the territory on west, there's just one way to handle the killers and the spoilers, and that's with a U.S. Marshal and the smell of gun smoke. Gunsmoke, starring William Conrad, the transcribed story of the violence that moved west with young America, and the story of a man who moved with it.
I'm that man, Matt Dillon, United States Marshal, the first man they look for and the last they want to meet. It's a chancy job, and it makes a man watchful and a little lonely. What was that for, Chester?
Oh, I don't know. I just wanted to make a noise, I guess. It's so blame quiet out here on the prairie.
Now, you've been mighty quiet yourself.
I guess I run plumb out of conversation back a couple hours ago. It ain't I'm unsociable, Mr.
Yeah, Dillon. I know, Chester. It's been a long ride. Yeah, but we'll be in Dodge by dark.
Yes, sir. fishing time to go to bed.
You didn't have anything better to do, did you?
I guess not. Game of checkers with Doc, maybe. Oh, that man plays the doggonedest, craziest game of checkers.
Hey, Chester. Over there.
What? Well, that smoke, Mr. Dillon.
Yeah.
Must be a grass fire, huh?
Oh, is smoke that black?
Well, what is it then?
Isn't there a ranch over in that direction?
Well, now, yes, sir, there is. Not far, neither. Fellow's name's Claiborne, as I remember. Come here from Indiana about 4 years ago, him and his wife did. Awful nice fella.
Come on, Chester.
Mr. Dillon, the house, barn, everything.
Yeah, there's not much left, is there?
What do you suppose could have happened?
Yeah, there's one thing for sure. It wasn't an accident.
Hmm?
Look at the tracks. Horses. They're all milling around.
There's sure a lot of them. What I don't understand is, where is Mr. Claiborne? Here's his house not hardly burnt to the ground yet.
Take a look over there, Chester.
Mr. Dillon.
Come on.
Oh, no.
Yeah, he should have stayed in Indiana.
And his wife, too. And I didn't even know they had a little one, Mr. Dillon. Looks like they was trying for cover in that little creek bed there.
Well, we can only do one thing for him now. Maybe there's a shovel left back there.
Mr. Dillon, who could have did a thing like that?
That's plain enough, isn't it?
Yes, but I didn't hear no Indian trouble right now.
I didn't either.
Mr. Dillon?
Yeah.
If them Indians were just here not very long ago, they couldn't have gone far.
That's right, Chester. They couldn't. All right, come on. Let's look to that shovel.
Oh, Mr. Claiborne. Look out there, Mr. Dillon.
What?
Horses. A lot of them.
Yeah.
You think it could be them Indians coming back?
Well, it could be. Get their rifles and we'll try a run for the creek bed.
Oh, too late, Mr. Dillon. They're coming over the rise. Mr. Dillon, it ain't Indians, it's the Blue Coats.
Yeah.
A patrol, a whole company of them. Oh, my, ain't they a welcome sight.
Yeah, come on, let's go meet them.
Out here, Marshal?
Yeah, we were riding in from Pawnee and we saw the smoke, Lieutenant. We were a little too late.
So I see. Where are they?
Over there. All three of them.
Mm. They're pretty close on their trail now. Maybe we can get them before they find another ranch.
Well, from the prints, I figured them for Kiowa. But I didn't know there was any trouble.
There isn't. For the tribe, these are just renegades. Not more than 8 or 10 of them. Got all fired up and jumped the agency.
Mm, fired up with cheap whiskey.
Maybe. But we can't be more than about half an hour behind them now. With luck, we'll get them before nightfall.
I sure hope so.
Marshal, we'll take over here for you. The horses need a few minutes' rest. Then we'll go on.
All right, Lieutenant. We'll head on into Dodge. And
keep your eyes open, Marshal, on the way.
Yeah. Yeah, we will.
You know, Mr. Dillon, it's a cussed crying shame. Them Indians can be as peaceful as anything, and then some ornery white man comes along and sells them some of that red eye, and they just go hog crazy.
Chester, an Indian's no different from anybody else with too much to drink. Now, the problem's deeper than that.
What do you mean?
Well, the Indians have lost a lot. They're a conquered people. That doesn't sit well with any man, Chester. And there are times when it makes him mad.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir, that's so. I guess maybe you can't blame him entirely.
Not entirely.
No, sir. Well, see now. That's a pretty little valley. Hey, look, there's somebody down there.
Yeah, looks like settlers.
They do indeed, with that Conestoga wagon. They built them a sod hut, too. Well, looks like we got neighbors we didn't know we had, Mr. Dillon.
Or maybe we're losing them before we get to know them.
Hmm?
They seem to be packing the wagon.
Maybe they heard about the Indians.
Yeah, that's likely. Now, come on, we'll ride down and say hello. Afternoon.
Howdy.
I'm Matt Dillon, U.S. Marshal out of Dodge. This is Chester Proudfoot.
I'm Sam Fraser. This is my ma.
Sam.
This is my wife, Alice.
Hello.
How do you do?
This is Tad, my kid brother.
Pleased to meet you.
Hello.
We're headed for Dodge ourselves.
Well, looks like you got settled here.
Well, we ain't staying, Marshal. We're going on west.
Chasing rainbows, Marshal. Farm folks like us.
Now, Ma.
Don't you now, Ma, me, Sam Fraser. If your pa was still alive,
well,
he wouldn't
really... And it's up to me to do the deciding now. If you'll excuse me, Marshal, I'll get back to loading up.
Chester and I can give you a hand.
No, thanks. Tad and me'll manage.
That's a real nice sod hut, Miss Fraser. It's kind of too bad to go off and leave it.
My husband built it, not him.
Now, Ma, Sam, help.
Huh. Marshal, what do you think of a son that goes against his father's wishes and him not hardly cold in his grave?
Ma, please.
3 days now, Marshal. He's buried right over there under that cottonwood.
I'm sorry, ma'am.
We hadn't been here more than a week. Come all the way from Ohio. Looking for a spot of good ground to till. Looking for a home, Marshal. And he found it here.
It sure is a pretty little place.
Hmm? Sammo called it Pleasant Valley. Said he'd be grateful to settle here and spend his days. Only the Lord didn't leave him any days. Denied him, like Moses, come to the promised land.
It would make a nice homestead for you folks.
It would. But some folks has ideas.
Oh, my layoff.
Mr. Fraser.
What?
Look, I know this is none of my business, but is there some reason why you want to give up this land and go on?
Reason enough.
It's because of me, Marshal.
Now, Alice, you ain't to blame.
Yes, I am. It's because Sam is worried about me, Marshal. No Indians would scare him off if it was just these folks, but it's me he's scared for. Me and the one coming.
And what better reason? You think I want my wife and my child living in danger of murdering savages?
Now, Mr. Fraser, there's just a bunch of renegades. The cavalry will get them soon and the danger will be over.
And who's to say what they'll do before the cavalry gets them? No, Marshal, my family's going to grow up in a safe place.
My ma born me in the middle of the Ohio woods, thick with Indians as fleas on a hound. We was made of sterner stuff in them days.
Maybe. But my wife ain't going to live like that. Now, come on, Tad. Hand that up. We're losing time.
You going on west?
Aye, to California, he says. Might even look for gold instead of farming, he says.
Oh, my. I reckon most of that gold out there is already claimed. 20 years or more. Of course, you might have luck.
We can always find a piece of land.
Yeah, maybe you can, but nothing better than this.
Nothing half as good. This dirt's richer than molasses in the cook pot. If it was me,
Well, it ain't. Now, hoist.
If I was just a few years old...
I said hoist.
You see how it is, Marshal.
Yes'm. Maybe he's right. California might work out fine. No town. It's a long way, and with Miss Fraser expecting, it's going to be kind of a hard trip.
I know all that, Marshal. We'll stay in Dodge till the baby's born. It won't be long now, and then we'll go on.
I just want to say one thing, Mr. Fraser. As a lawman in this territory, we have some troubles now and then, sure, but it's not as bad as you think. And in a few years, it'll be as safe here as it is in, well, Ohio right now, or California. And it's going to be a prosperous country.
My mind's made up, Marshal.
Well, all right. We better help you get loaded then. See you safe into Dodge. The worst place to be right now is out on the open prairie.
All right. That's it. Now one more shove. Good. That should ride easy.
Yeah. That's the last. Oh.
All right, then, we're all ready. Might as well get started. It's getting late. You got them all hitched, Tad?
They're ready.
Where's Ma?
She's over by the cottonwood.
Oh. Crying, I suppose, to shame me.
Sam.
Well, tears don't do no good.
She ain't crying. She's just standing, staring. I tried to get her to come away, but she wouldn't.
Marshal, maybe if you were to talk to her. You know, a stranger.
All right. Well, sure, ma'am. Miss Fraser.
He's there, Marshal. Right there. We fixed up a cross.
Yes, ma'am.
Maybe if you was to pass by this way again, you just take a look. See the marker still standing?
Well, I sure will, ma'am.
25 years, Marshal. And all I ever asked was to lie there beside him. It's a lonely place.
Mm-hmm. But it's no lonelier than any other, Miss Fraser. Why, in the springtime, this whole meadow is covered with a blanket of sunflowers. Pretty as you ever saw.
Thank you, Marshal. I can go now.
Ma. Ma, I'm sorry.
No need, boy. We all do what we have to do. You're no different. Just help me up.
Oh, here, Ma.
All right. Now let's get this girl into town. Her time's almost come.
Okay, Ma.
Hey! Yes.
All right, come on, Chester.
Yes, sir.
I want you to ride the point. Keep a good watch ahead and to the north, huh?
All right, sir.
I'll cut up to the top of that hill and take a look, and then I'll ride south flank. Cover that side and behind.
Mr. Dillon, it sure does seem a shame.
Wait a minute, Chester.
Oh, my gracious. Coming over the hill.
Yeah.
Them ain't blue coats.
No, they're not, Chester.
Too far to hit
them. It'll let them know they got a fight.
Yes, sir. No, they've turned off.
I thought they would. All right, let's get back to the Frasers. Come on. All right, hurry it up. Let's get those women into the hut.
We're trying, Marshal, but Alice got choked up some with us going so fast.
Well, we'll carry her. Come on.
You all right, Marshal?
Sure you will, ma'am. Hang on now. There we go.
Over here. Right here, Marshal. Put her down gently.
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, Alice.
Now, Sam, don't you worry. I'll be all right. You go on. Do what needs to be done. I'll be all right.
But Alice...
Go on, boy.
Come on, Sam. You got a rifle, Sam?
Yeah, Sharp's in the wagon.
Well, that'll give us three.
I ain't got one, Marshal, but I can load for you.
All right, son. There'll be plenty to do.
They're still up there, Mr. Dillon. Having a powwow, looks like.
You figure they'll rush us, Marshal?
No. They know we got rifles. There are only eight or nine of them, and the ground's too open. They'll either go on and leave us alone, or they'll wait till the sun goes down and come in the dusk.
There's nothing to do but wait.
Well, we can use the time to unload part of the wagon. Just the things they'll need in there, though. And we'll drive it off and cut the horses loose. We don't want them milling around in case of a fight.
Sam!
What, Ma?
Get water from the creek. Make a fire, quick.
Ma!
Don't stand there. You heard me. Get moving.
Yes, ma'am.
Relax, Frasier. She's gonna be all right.
Sure, out here in nowhere with them up there. This is just what I was afraid of.
Well, plenty have been born this way. Now, you might have been yourself, you know.
I know, but... Tad, where are you going?
Down to the creek. Ma wants more water.
You better go with him, Chester.
Yes, sir.
Oh, I should have gone 2 days ago. I wanted her to have the best. Nothing but the best.
Yeah, I know.
That's why I talked about hunting gold in California.
You know something, Sam? A man can waste a lifetime looking for gold when it's right in front of his eyes.
Where?
Now, you're looking at it. There's wealth here for a man, too.
Oh, I know it, Marshal.
Tad!
Yeah, come on.
Tad!
Yeah, all right, Mr. Dillon. Just a nick. One of them snuck up close, but I chased him off.
Tad.
I'm all right, Sam. Just crease my arm.
Well, it's bleeding.
We'll fix it when we get him back to the hut. Is it tight enough, son?
Oh, sure, Marshal. It's okay. How's Alice?
I don't know. Ma chased me away. I'm worried, Marshal.
And I'm more worried about those Indians. It's going to be dark soon.
Mr. Dillon, that patrol ought to be around here somewhere.
Yeah, I know. I was hoping they'd show up.
Well, they can't be far. It was on the trail. Maybe Pa's to ride out.
Now, there's a better way, Chester. Signal them.
How?
Yeah, the sign they've been looking for and hoping not to see. Smoke.
You mean set the grass afire?
No, that'd smoke us out, too. No, the wagon.
Oh, but Marshal...
Yeah, I know, Frasier. It's like burning your bridges behind you, but it's the only thing we've got.
All right. All right, we'll burn it.
That's almost out, but it sure sent up a lot of smoke while it lasted. You reckon the cavalry saw it, Mr. Dillon?
Yeah, it's hard to say, Chester.
Well, if they did, I hope they're hurrying. Sun's most gone, all but the tops of the hills. This valley's getting mighty shadowy.
Yeah, we better sit in a circle. Each one watch his side.
Marshal, out there, was that...
What? No, it's just one of the horses, son, but you keep looking.
Marshal, Marshal, listen.
Look, up there, it's the Bluecoats. They're here.
Oh, ain't that a welcome sight?
They're charging the Indians, running them off.
Marshal, we're going to be all right.
Yeah, Fraser. They'll get them now. Maybe if we...
Sam, get in here.
Alice.
Well, what are you staring at? Body'd think you'd never seen a strapping, healthy baby boy before.
Alice?
I'm all right, darling. We're both all right. I told you you didn't need to worry about us.
All right, now, you men folk, get on out of here. Go on, skedaddle.
Yes, ma'am.
You too, Sam Fraser.
Well, I declare.
Well, Sam, Chester and I'll be getting on in the Dodge. We sent a wagon out for you.
Well, I reckon we won't be needing the wagon, Marshal.
Sam, you mean we're staying?
Well, we buried one here, and we born one here, and we shed Fraser blood in this dirt. And it is good dirt, Marshal. And it is a pleasant place.
Yes, it is.
You'll be welcome here any time. Both of you.
Thank you, Mr. Fraser. Welcome to Kansas.
And now our star, William Conrad.
Thank you, George. Remember, as I told you earlier, Gunsmoke goes on TV tonight at 10 p.m. Eastern Time over the CBS television network. So be sure and see Gunsmoke's TV premiere tonight.
Gunsmoke, produced and directed by Norman McDonald, stars William Conrad as Matt Dillon, U.S. Marshal. The special music for Gunsmoke was composed and conducted by Rex Corey. Sound patterns by Bill James and Ray Kemper. Featured in the cast were Vic Perrin, Helen Cleve, Eleanor Tannen, Sam Edwards, and John Daner. Harley Bear is Chester.
That was Gunsmoke from September 10th, 1955, Alarm at Pleasant Valley. And the broadcast, as you heard, was the same night as the TV debut of Gunsmoke. Mentioned John Wayne as being the guy who introduced the TV debut of Gunsmoke. I'm not sure they did mention the man who, for, what was it, about 20 years, played Matt Dillon on television, and that would be the 6'6" James Arness, who made a go of it on television much longer than Gunsmoke was around on radio, both as half hours and later as hours, if I recall correctly. In a moment, the results of our Name That Sound contest, and Fibber McGee and Molly, as old-time radio drama continues this Sunday night here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Well, that was very nice. I had no idea she was going to say that. Thank you, whoever you were. And now, thank you for participating in our Name That Sound contest. Here's the sound again. That is nothing but the familiar sound of a straw going into the traveling cap of a cup of soda. And among our correct respondents tonight, Scott of Waldo, who wins the Old Time Radio Night t-shirt this Sunday night. So call back and claim your prize. You can specify a size and we'll do our best to match it. And again, thanks to all who called in. I guess especially that crew there in Cascade, who was well represented too in the winner's circle tonight. Tonight, Fibber McGee is going to try a stint as a gossip columnist, or columnist as they were sometimes called. 68 years ago tonight, when this show was first broadcast, that would be September 16th, 1939. And you'll hear Harold Perry tonight, who went on to become the Great Gildersleeve as a night watchman. And you'll also hear an imitation of the often imitated Walter Winchell in tonight's gossip columnist of Fibber McGee and Molly.
The Johnson Wax Program with Fibber McGee and Molly. The makers of Johnson's Wax and Johnson's Self-Polishing Glow Coat present Marion and Jim Jordan as Fibber McGee and Molly with Donald Novis, Bill Thompson, and Billy Mills Orchestra. The show opens with "The Best Things in Life Are Free." Yesterday, I received a letter from a housewife who asked me this question. What does Johnson's Wax really do for my floors? Well, that's certainly a fair question, and I guess it's up to me to answer it. Look for a moment at the floor in your own room. It's probably a hardwood floor that was very expensive to lay. To make that floor last a long time, it needs protection. To make it attractive, it needs beautification. Varnish and shellac give some protection, but these finishes themselves wear out and chip under the constant attack of scraping, scuffing feet. But wax protects both the floor and the finish with an invisible tough coat that you can renew from time to time. When you spread Johnson's Wax over your floor, the wax goes down into the pores and seals out dirt. It guards against scratches. It keeps dust from collecting. It makes cleaning easy and scrubbing a thing of the past. Now, if that were all that wax does, it would still be desirable. But in addition to protection, wax adds a mellow, glistening beauty to your floors and to your entire home. With every application of wax, floors become more beautiful. Now, of course, when I say wax, I mean a high-quality, reliable wax, perfectly blended, which is another way of saying Johnson's Wax, the wax that has given satisfaction in millions of homes for over 50 years. Remember, when you walk on wax, you save your floor. Well, folks, radio is stranger than fiction. Just as Molly was insisting that Fibber get a job, the long arm of coincidence reached out and tweaked our hero's nose. The gossip columnist of the Wistful Vista Gazette wanted somebody to take over his work while he went on a vacation. And here at the newspaper office, his third day in the job, we find that would-be printer's devil and his angel, Fibber McGee and Molly.
Oh, I like this newspaper work, Molly. Last I got me a job I can put my Hearst into.
Oh. Say, how did you ever happen to get this job, McGee? I didn't know you were a friend of the columnist here.
Oh, sure. Me and him was old buddies. You see these two fingers, Molly?
Yeah.
Me and him was just like that. That short one's me. Well, I mind the time I was a reporter on the old Bloomington Pantograph. I didn't mind being a cub, but when they wanted me to hibernate one winter, I quit.
Oh, there, young man. First opportunity I've had to drop in on you. How are you getting along?
Oh, just fine, Chief. I've seen you around here checking up on things and wondered if you weren't going to come in sometime.
Well, I like to have the new people settle down before I disturb them.
Well, that's mighty nice of you, Chief. Meet the little woman. She's my best critic and severest friend. Don't you get it, Molly? I
ain't funny, McGee.
You got to give me credit for remembering it.
Tell me, McGee, what writing experience have you had?
Oh, quite a bit, Chief. A lot of poetry, two or three mysteries. A
couple of letters.
I'm writing a novel now, Chief.
A novel? Is that so?
It's about the Dust Bowl farmers. It's got a good title for it, too, I have. The Grapes of Wrath.
Well, that's been used.
It has? Doggone it, I talk too much.
Say, have you seen any of my husband's newspaper columns, Chief?
Oh, yes, indeed. I've been following his work with a great deal of interest.
Well, thanks, Chief. Nice of you to say so. I'd like to have you tell me something about candid camera work sometime. I see that's your hobby.
Candid camera? What makes you think so?
Well, I imagine McGee noticed the little camera you have hanging on your belt there, sir.
Oh, that isn't a camera. Huh? That's a clock. I'm the night watchman. See you again sometime.
Night watchman. Just one big happy family.
Say, let me know when you have your next literary conference, McGee, and I'll bring the elevator operator and the window washer.
Well, he fools you, too. Now, let's see. Where can I dig up some good gossip items, Molly?
Say, speaking of gossip, dearie, there's only one thing that worries me about this job.
What's that, Mrs. McGee?
Oh, you say such personal things about people. Don't they ever threaten you or anything?
Sure, but that don't mean nothing. There's always some guy with a grudge that's threatening to shoot you or horsewhip you or something. Empty threats. Don't mean a thing.
Mr. McGee.
Yes, Miss Print.
Gentleman to see you.
What's he want, Miss Print?
He says it's a personal matter, Mr. McGee. He's got a horsewhip with him.
Oh.
Horsewhip, eh? Well, tell him we don't want it. What? A horsewhip? You mean he's...
I don't mean a thing, McGee. Just an empty threat.
Oh.
What'll I tell him, Mr. McGee?
Tell him I ain't in. Tell him I've gone home. Tell him anything. Wait a minute. Tell him I'm making the rounds of the nightclubs and probably won't show up for days.
Yes, sir.
Come on, Molly, let's get out of here.
Okay.
No, wait, I better send this copy down to the composing room first. Copy boy, copy boy.
Yes, sir?
Take this copy down to the composing room. And boy.
Yes, sir?
Get me a press card to stick in the windshield of my automobile.
Yes, sir. McGee, you haven't got an automobile.
Oh, that's right. A boy.
Yes, sir?
Get me an automobile to stick the press card into the windshield of.
Yes, sir.
Dad, Reddit, I wonder what that guy out there wants to horsewhip me for. Maybe I better print a retraction.
How can you make a retraction when you don't even know what item he's angry about?
Well, I'll make a blanket retraction. That ought to cover me. Come on, let's duck out the back door.
Well, what if he hears it?
Shucks, I never thought of that. How can we distract his attention? Oh, I know. Hey, Billy. Billy Mills. Play an apple for the teacher and play it loud.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. spot in town.
Oh, how exciting. Uh-huh. Hill Hooley's Grand Terrace Cafe and Pool Room.
I wonder if it's crowded. Hey, doorman, is there a big crowd inside?
Not so many. It's pretty quiet. Oh, hello there, daughter. Hello, Johnny. Hey, they tell me you're writing the gossip column now. Yeah. I got an exclusive story for you. It's a snoop.
You mean a scoop?
Hey!
Scoop. You know what a scoop is, old-timer. A scoop is when you get there first to give some second grader the third degree for the fourth estate.
That's pretty good, Johnny. But that ain't the way I heard it. The way I heard it, one feller says, t'other feller, says, see where this Tony Galletto performed a little dentistry the other night. That's so, says t'other feller. How do you mean? Well, says the first feller, he certainly gave Novocaine. Say, I make a great story for you, Johnny. You might caption it, Local Anesthetic Makes Good. Well, go right in, kids. The head waiter will give you a good table.
Okay. All right, here's a good table right here, Molly. Hey, waiter, give me the steak dinner. You just want a salad, don't you, Molly?
Yes. A mixed green salad with just a tiny bit of garlic, waiter.
Lady, there ain't no such thing as a tiny bit of garlic. Garlic is a garlic. And a confidentially...
Listen, Bud, I'm the gossip columnist on the Gazette. I wish you'd point out any celebrities that are here tonight.
You know, debutantes or actors or gangsters or...
Sure. Did you see that girl at the third table? That's Brenda Axel Biddle, the debutante. She just come out.
Oh. She ought to go back in and put something on. Who else, waiter?
Well, let me see. Oh, yes. You see that homely little mug across the room there?
Yes.
That's Fibber McGee.
What?
It is not. I'm Fibber McGee.
Yeah?
Sure.
Well, say, that other guy ain't so bad looking after all.
The idea. We didn't come to a nightclub to be insulted by the waiters.
Then I guess you ain't had much experience with nightclubs, lady. How'd you want your steak, Doc?
Oh, medium tough.
Okay. Let me know how'd you like the French fried potatoes. We're trying new recipe. We're frying them in rubber cements.
Waiter, take me to Mr. McGee's table, I think. Oh, never mind, I see him. Hello, Fibber.
Oh, hello, Mr. Wilcox.
Hi, Harlow. Say, Fibber, did you have an item in the Gazette about a certain wealthy man about town and a blonde hat-checked girl?
Yes, I did, Harlow. Neat little item, too. I said, quote, what man about town who is no author is making a play for what little blonde hat-checked girl who is no actress? Unquote. Kind of a nifty, eh?
Yes, except that same guy is standing outside this nightclub waiting for you with a horsewhip.
Oh, heavenly days, McGee. He's followed us over here.
Dad dreaded luck. So that was the story he was sore about. Listen, Harlow, don't tell him we're in here. Tell him we've gone.
Okay, pal, whatever you say. Say, incidentally, I've got a little gossip item for your column.
Oh, I ran... good. What is it, Mr. Wilcox?
Well, look, don't quote me on this.
No.
But did you know that a certain prominent businessman and his wife are separating?
No. Why?
Well, the way I heard it, this fella got so fed up with house cleaning every spring and every fall that he just couldn't take it anymore.
Oh, my.
But his wife played it the smart way, you see.
Yeah. What you mean, Cuddles?
Well... Well, she told him that everything was going to be different this year. She said that she'd just learned how to simplify her housework. For instance, she's using Johnson's self-polishing glow coat so she can polish her linoleum floors in a jiffy without any rubbing or buffing. And she's going to use Johnson's paste and liquid wax on the wood floors and furniture and make dusting and cleaning easier the whole year. See?
Oh, well, heavenly days, Mr. Wilcox. Wasn't that enough to reconcile them?
What do you mean, reconcile?
Well, you said they were separating.
Oh, but that was just while house cleaning was going on.
Oh.
But now that she's found out about Johnson's glow coat and Johnson's wax, why, you can't keep him out of the house.
Oh.
Isn't that a nice little human interest story?
Oh, simply delightful, Mr. Wilcox.
Well, I'm afraid that's too big a story for us. That's got national interest. My column is just local.
Oh, I see. Well, Well, I guess I gotta be going. Keep an eye out for that guy with the horsewhip, Fibber.
Say, does he look pretty mean, Mr. Wilcox?
Mean? He's as sore as a pelican with sinus trouble. See you later, folks.
Hey, maybe we better get out of here, Molly. I don't want any trouble with that guy.
No, sir. We're not going to run away from him.
Huh?
We'll fight.
We will?
Certainly we will. Besides, you shouldn't worry, dearie. Didn't they tell you at the office that the newspaper was behind you and everything?
Yeah, but if I'm going to get horsewhipped, I want something thicker than a newspaper behind me. Come on, Molly, let's go. Let's get out of here before
something... Oh, there you are, Mrs. McGee. So nice to see you, really.
Oh, how do you do, Mrs. Uppington?
And Mr. McGee, too. Oh, and Mr. McGee's brother.
Hi, what do you mean, my brother?
Oh, man, wasn't that silly of me? For a moment, I thought there were two of you. Must be the lighting effect in here.
I think things are well enough lit in here, Mrs. Uppy. Don't you, McGee?
Yeah. Ain't you kind of swinging it a little bit, Uppy?
Swinging it? Oh, yes, yes, yes. In fact, I'm afraid I'm becoming quite a jitter insect. Oh, you know, I've been learning a new dance step. The boops a daisy. You swing around like this. Oh, man, I'm sorry. It was clumsy of me, wasn't it?
Oh, my. What on earth have you been drinking, Mrs. Uppington?
Please, Mrs. McGee. I never touch intoxicating beverages, but my waiter suggested a delicious soft drink, some kind of punch. Planter's punch, I believe.
Oh, very refreshing.
Yeah, very well named, too. One more punch and they'll plant her. I'm sorry we can't stay and join the festivities, Uppy, but we gotta be...
Oh, I'm so sorry you can't join the festivities. I'm really sorry. And, you know, I can't remember when I've had so much fun. Oh, but my goodness, Mr. McGee, you seem terribly upset about something. Is there anything wrong?
Well, nothing that a fast trip to Mexico wouldn't cure, Mrs. Uppington. He's having trouble with his neck.
Really? His neck?
Yes, I stuck it out too far, Uppy.
Now, how very amusing. Oh, dear, everything is very amusing tonight. Oh, dear, these people are so charming. Yes, everything is just too, too lovely. Now, you know, I can hardly keep my feet on the ground. Oh, there goes my waiter with one of those delightful planters punches. I must get the recipe from him. A roll out to the barrel. A wheel has up there.
Come on, Molly, let's sneak out. We can hear Novus on the radio at the office.
He will be followed by Snippy and Snappy with their excruciating songs and witty sayings and our beautiful line of dancers, the Gilhooligans. Hiya, Joe, I'll see you out back in a minute. Donald Novus in a melancholy mood. Let's give him a great big hand, folks.
Upon me in the night, forever taunts me, oh, what a lonely soul am I, stranded high and dry by melancholy mood. Gone is every joy and inspiration, tears are all I have to show, no consolation, all I can see is grief and gloom, till the crack of doom, oh, melancholy mood. Deep in the night, I search for a trace of a lingering kiss, a warm embrace. But love is a flimsy as lace, and my arms embrace an empty space. Melancholy mood, why must you blind me, pity me, and break the chains? The chains that bind me, won't you release me, set me free? Bring her back to me, oh, melancholy mood. melancholy mood. Why must you blind me, pity me, and break the chains? The chains that bind me, won't you release me, set me free? Bring her back to me, oh, melancholy mood. Melancholy
It's good to be back in a nice, cozy office again, ain't it, Molly?
Oh, yes.
Yes, sir.
Excuse me, Mr. McGee. That man with the whip is here again.
What? He is? Tell him I can't see him, sis.
Yes, sir.
That rat's a dad's rat's luck. That guy's going to be trailing me around like a busted garter.
Why do you get yourself in a mess like this, McGee?
Search me. I wonder how Walter Winchell handles these situations. Shucks, I'm just as smart as he is.
What?
What's he got that I haven't got? Oh, except that he can talk faster.
One other little thing, too, dearie. He can think faster. You know, it's a wonder to me, McGee, that you...
Uh-oh.
You suppose that's him, McGee?
I don't care if it is or not. Hand me that paper knife, Molly. I'm going to defend myself to the last drop. Come in.
Ah, there, Button Beezer. And good evening to you, my dear.
Oh, good evening, Mr. Boomer.
What you want, Boomer?
I have a juicy little tidbit for your column.
Oh.
Yes, indeed. Came across it in a big house up on 14th Street, where I was a house guest for several minutes one night last week.
Juicy little tidbit, eh? Well, if it ain't too scandalous, we can use it, Boomer.
Let's see it, Mr. Boomer.
Certainly, certainly. I have it right here somewhere. Now, where did I put that juicy little tidbit? Tidbit, tidbit. Where did I put that tidbit? Here's a snapshot of a friend of mine, a little Italian football player. Ah, yes, the good old Latin Quarter. A handful of precious stones presented to me unwittingly by a couple of girlfriends. Can't remember whether I got that opal from Ruby or that Ruby from Opal. Handful of loose bills, part of the gate receipts of a minstrel show. Yes, yes. Gentlemen, be cheated. Ta-da!
Come on, Boomer, come on, the tidbit.
The juicy little tidbit.
Ah, yes, the juicy little tidbit. Where can I put that tidbit? Here's a couple of bunion pads. Can always predict the weather by my bunions. Went to a preview last night and I had to get up and leave.
Preview of what?
The rains came. Yeah, splendid picture. Has a great deal of power, if you care for a Tyrone. Ah, what's this? Oh, yes, a bill from my hotel. Glad to pay it, too. Cleanest hotel I ever patronized. They've even changed the lock on my door 4 times. Let's see now. Here's a ticket to the dog show. There's one function I like to attend. Always go and hiss the police dogs. Yes. And here's an abdominal support. Nothing like it to help you keep a stiff upper lap. Some ant poison I bought for my uncle. And a check for a short beer. Well, well, imagine that. No juicy little tidbit. Some unprincipled character must have picked my pocket. The scoundrel.
Imagine that. Imagine anybody picking his pocket.
That's like a fly in the soup complaining about the customer.
Hey, Molly, take a peek out and see if the guy with the whip is still there.
Yep, he's still there.
What's he doing?
Swatting flies with the whip.
Hmm. Perfecting his aim, eh? Well, shucks.
Well, here he is, McGee. What are you going to do?
Dad, rat it, I'll face him. That's what I'll do. I'll show him he can't imitate me.
You mean intimidate, dearie.
Uh-huh. I'll show him what I mean. Come in!
Hi, mister.
Oh.
Hi.
Hey, little girl, don't ever do that again.
Do what?
Huh?
Hmm?
Listen, little girl, it's much, much too late for you to be out. You belong home in bed.
I bet you I don't, I bet you. I bet you I belong right here.
Hmm. Well, why do you?
My father's a cricket.
Your father's a what?
A cricket.
Oh, he is, eh? It would make just as much sense if I said my father was a grasshopper.
More, I bet you.
Oh, is that so?
Hmm?
I says, is that so?
Sure.
Listen, sis, I'm in no mood for any fairy tales. I don't care if your father's a cricketer or a June bug. You'd better go on home.
Well, he is a cricket, I betcha. He's a movie cricket.
Oh, I get it. He's the movie critic for the paper.
Sure.
Oh.
What paper's your father a grasshopper on?
He ain't on the paper. I mean, he ain't a grasshopper.
Well, you said he was.
Oh, no, I didn't.
Oh, yes, you did.
Oh, no, I didn't.
Oh, yes, you did.
We could go on like this all night, sis.
All right, but I bet you we'd get tired of it, I bet you.
Listen, sis, I ain't in no mood for nonsense. I'm busy. I don't care if your father is a movie critic. He shouldn't let you wander around like this. Where's your father now?
He went to see Stanley in Livingston.
Oh, he did, eh?
Mm-hmm.
Do they work on this paper?
Oh, sure. And they have lunch every day with the Wizard of Oz. Gee, you're a funny man.
Precocious kid. But just the same, if I ever meet this Stanley or Livingston, I'm going to give him a piece of my mind.
I think by the time you meet them, McGee, it won't matter much. Now, what are you going to do about the man with the horsewhip?
Oh, shucks, I don't know. Yes, I do, too. Dad, Braddock, I'm going to have it out with him. I'm going to tell him to come in here, and if I start anything, he'll finish it.
What?
I mean, if I finishes anything, he'll start...
Shall I hold your glasses, dearie?
Oh, I'll keep them on. I got to see where I'm falling. Hey, Bud, you with the whip. I'm Fibber McGee. You waiting to see me?
I certainly am.
Wow.
Are you the columnist who wrote the article about the man about town making a play for a blonde hat check girl?
Yes, he is, and he meant every word of it.
Now, let me handle this, Molly. Well, what if I did, Bud? Shucks, can't you take a joke? After all, Hey, you keep away from me now. You leave me alone. Get between us, Molly, before I fly into a blind rage. Now, listen, Bud. Let's talk this thing over.
It's too late for that now.
Oh, now, look, Bud. Let's be reasonable.
Oh, slug him, dearie.
Oh, I will if he cracks at me with that whip.
Oh, don't be like that. Look, that blonde hat check girl and I were married 6 months ago.
Huh?
And I figured that anybody who's as far behind the times as you are ought to be driving a horse and buggy.
Huh?
Here, take the whip.
Oh, sure.
During the past week, it's been pretty warm in many parts of the country, and winter may seem a long way off. But before you know it, the weatherman will be saying wind, rain, snow. Bad days for automobile finishes. But think how lucky you motorists are this year. Think how easy it will be to clean and wax polish your car for winter with Car New, the revolutionary new product just perfected in the famous Johnson's Wax Laboratories. If I could only show you on my own car how amazingly easy it is to use Car New, you'd have some in the next 24 hours. In the old days, in order to clean and wax your car, you had to use a cleaner first, then a wax. Two operations. But now it's all done in one single operation with Johnson's Car New. You put it on, it dries to a powder, you wipe it off. And there stands that beautiful finish you'd almost forgotten, wax protected. Whether your car is 5 years old or 5 days old, you should wax polish it with Car New. Dust and dirt and weather stains will wipe off easily. And for a long time, your car will be something to be proud of. Stop by and get a can of Johnson's Car New tomorrow, wherever auto supplies are sold or from your regular wax dealer. It's inexpensive, and when you've used it, you'll say with thousands of other car owners, your car looks like new when you use Car New.
And this, Mr. and Mrs. America, with apologies to Walter Winchell, brings to a close another edition of the Johnson Journal. We remain your wistful Vista correspondents, Fibber McGee and Molly, who think...
Believe it or not...
Who think that the best Pat and Mike story in America these days is to say over this mic, let's stand pat. Good night.
Good night, all.
This is Harlow Wilcox speaking for the makers of Johnson's Wax and Johnson's self-polishing glow coat, Racine, Wisconsin, reminding you that if the community in which you live does not observe daylight saving time, Fibber McGee and Molly will come to you 1 hour later, beginning next Tuesday. Please see your local newspaper for time and station. Good night.
This is the National Broadcasting Company.
Let's Stand Pat, says Fibber McGee or Jim Jordan, referring, most likely, to the fact that just 2 weeks prior to that broadcast, World War II had broken out in Europe with the German invasion of Poland on September 1st. Tonight's outing from Fibber McGee and Molly, gossip columnist, came to us from September 16th, 1939. Next, we're going to let George do it. It's Bob Bailey as George Valentine, as old-time radio drama continues this Sunday night right here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.